All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Coffee with Marcus and Mark. Just Mark today, the number one stock market show on Spotify and one of the most popular market updates on YouTube. In this show, we talk about what's happening in the markets and how we're trading them. Today is, Wednesday, April 10th, and it's been a wild day. So CPI shocks the markets. Stocks drop 1%. Where are they now? 10-year yields soar to levels that we haven't seen in months. A big change for probabilities of a rate cut. Is the Fed in trouble? And NVIDIA in a league of its own, a green blip in a sea of red. We'll take a look at what NVIDIA is doing for the day. Hey, if this is your first time here, my name is Mark Hodge. I'm head coach at Rockwell Trading. Marcus will be back here tomorrow. We like to talk about the markets, share our positions, and we just get excited about trading opportunities, and we like to share them with you. So let's get right to the charts, see what's going on in these crazy markets. And here we have the S&P 500. Now, looking at the S&P 500 and where it's traded recently, yeah, it doesn't look like there's a real shocker today. However, markets are down 1%. So even though we're trading at lows that we saw yesterday and back at levels that we had last Thursday when we had that big reversal on Thursday, if we look at futures here and we go to a 5-minute chart, there was a big, big slide overnight. And here, if we expand this a little bit, we see that overnight trading was just sideways, flatlining, doing nothing. And this is normal when there is an event that everybody wants to know about and wants to watch, wants to see what that the outcome of that event is. And this was CPI data this morning. Let's look at the PowerX Optimizer. Go to the economic calendar. We see here that this week it's all about inflation. We still have PPI data coming out, but the CPI data is usually the bigger of the two, or the one that's more of a market mover. And it did not disappoint. Well, it kind of disappointed, but as far as being a market mover, it did not disappoint because markets reacted this morning, 5:30 Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. Core CPI, CPI, and CPI number year over year came out hotter, higher than expected. So analysts believe that we're going to be at a 0.3% increase for that core CPI number. And we actually were a tick higher at 0.4%. The CPI number analysts thought would be at 0.3%, but instead at 0.4%. And then CPI year over year, the expectation was that we'd come in at 3.4% instead at 3.5%. So this means that inflation could be a little stickier, that prices are higher and they might continue to be higher. And that was a bit of a shock to the markets because the markets have wanted the Fed to cut rates. And they expected it. Last fall, a rate cut as soon as March was expected, and then that quickly got tossed aside. And then traders were thinking that, okay, the next time we're going to cut is in June. And if we look at the CME Fed Funds Futures and their probability tool, we see here that once this loads, a June rate cut is totally off the table now based on probability. So that was always... Most recently, that was something that was a bit of a coin toss. And the May cut, everybody said, okay, that's not going to happen. Here we go. Finally loading. There we go. So May is the next meeting, May 1st. And traders thought, yeah, that's not going to happen. And I mean, even this 2.9%, there are 2.9% of the people out there that just are crazy. So if we look at the future probabilities, though, and we... let's try this again. Clicking there. Oh, it's not liking me this. It's not liking me today. Let's try this. Well, I could do it this way. So here we go. This is what I wanted to see. Look at this. So no cut in May. That was expected. Up until today's CPI report. A June cut was on the table. A lot of people were saying, no way, Marcus and I included. But we're at about a 55% probability based on Fed funds futures that there would be a June cut. And now we see that 79% chance rates stay the same. And that's even a possibility for July, where 54% probability that rates will stay the same. And the first cut now is September. So that's a big change going from a cut in June to a cut in September just because of one CPI report. Well, there's kind of a trend here because we saw inflation and CPI popping a little bit higher, but this just supporting that maybe the Fed needs to hold off on a rate cut to make sure that inflation is under control. The other change here is that Fed members had based on their dot plot, they were anticipating three cuts, and that's what the market was anticipating earlier this year. The Fed funds futures showed that there are even five cuts on the table. That seemed ludicrous at the time, but maybe two, three would be likely. And now Fed funds futures say, okay, maybe a cut in September, maybe a cut in December, but not the three cuts that were priced in. So this is a big shift based on this report, and this matters. And if we look at the yields, we see that with this report, we had a huge spike in yields. Look at the 10-year yield, just a huge jump, kind of going sideways after the initial reaction. But if we look at a daily chart, this really puts us into perspective here. There we're making new highs for the year on these 10-year yields, getting back to levels that we haven't seen since November of last year. So the market is expecting that rates will stay higher longer, when everybody was hoping that we'd start to see some cuts this year in the first half, maybe mid-year, but now it's looking like we're deep into the second half of the year before a cut is a possibility. Of course, the Fed needs to share their thoughts and what's expected there. Ultimately, they get to make that decision. But with this CPI data, definitely more likely that we're in a higher, longer scenario rather than a cut happening right around the corner. So markets taking this information in and trying to decide what the heck do we do now? And we gap down a percent. If we go to a 5-minute chart and look at the S&P 500, we could see what the reaction has been today. Even though we're down 1%, it's been interesting because it's clear that traders aren't quite sure what to do with this news, because with this gap down, what you typically see is that after a big gap, there's some pressure to fill the gap because buyers are stepping in saying, hey, you know what? This is a buying opportunity. Let's take advantage of it. Or maybe there's panic selling and traders think, you know, this is only going to get worse, and you start to see a sell-off. For the first hour, we were going nowhere. We were trading right around the open. We started to see a little bit of a gap attempt, a gap fill. But now we're pulling back towards the open today and maybe mid-range, slightly towards the session lows here. The S&P down 1% right now, Dow down 1.1%, and the NASDAQ down 1.1%. So definitely a down day. Definitely a down day, and it will be interesting to see if we start to see some direction, because at least for now, the direction occurred overnight going into the open. And it looks like traders just aren't quite sure what to make of this. But that big yield spike, not really good for equities. Now, let's go back to PowerX Optimizer and let's take a look at the heat map here. And we see here that there's just a sea of red. Google down 1%, Microsoft down 1.5%, Apple down 1.1%, 1.2%, Tesla. I think Tesla, one of the bigger losers in the S&P 500, down 2.8%. And look at this, NVIDIA, higher in a sea of green here. So yes, NVIDIA is moving. All right, let's look at NVIDIA on a daily chart here. So NVIDIA, if we take a look at what's happened recently, yesterday, NVIDIA officially went into correction territory, a 10% pullback from its highest close here would mark a correction. And so that took place yesterday But today, it looks like traders see this as an opportunity to pick up some shares at a discount because while the overall market is down 1% plus, and we see that in the semiconductor world, everything's red except for NVIDIA, it looks like traders are seeing this as an opportunity to pick up shares. And NVIDIA up 1.3%, bucking the overall trend there. So NVIDIA on the move today. Another one that was higher early on. I haven't checked since the ALB. Okay, ALB pulling back a little bit now, down 1%. This was higher early on after a Bank of America upgrade, bucking the overall trend and actually higher for the first part of the session this morning, but now negative with the overall market, in line perfectly with the overall market, down 1%. So markets going crazy, trying to figure out what comes next. And let's just take a look at the economic calendar, see what's in store for us this week. I mean, right now, we do have Fed minutes coming out today. This could be a potential market mover. In my opinion, it's more of a wild card because I don't think that we're going to see any shocking data from the Fed minutes that hasn't already been conveyed to the public, right? But investors look into the minutes just to see if there's something there that could shed some light on what the Fed might have in store and planned. And during the housing crisis, there was a time where Fed minutes, sometimes there would be something that investors would be concerned about and the big reaction. I just haven't seen that recently with this rate hike cycle with the Fed. It seems like the Fed, you know, whether or not you think they're getting it right or wrong, it seems that they, for the most part, they've been pretty clear on their message. You might have some members that disagree or have a slightly, you know, different stance, more hawkish or dovish, but it seems like there haven't been too many surprises. So you never know, though. I would say that it's a wild card, something to consider. 11 Pacific and 2 p.m. Eastern. And then tomorrow we have PPI data, the producer price index. This is going to be something that's watched with the CPI data report being a surprise today. Again, the CPI number normally more significant and more of a market mover. But when you get a shock, then a lot of investors, the next thing they really want to see is PPI because they want to see if it's a trend overall, or, you know, maybe there's some conflicting information. If the general trend is, hey, prices are just high, then that's not going to be good for the market. So that's PPI data coming out 5:30 Pacific tomorrow, 8:30 Eastern. And then on Friday, we have University of Michigan consumer sentiment, but I wouldn't even worry about that. Bank earnings. So JP Morgan reporting earnings before the bell on Friday. That's going to be in the spotlight for sure, as well as some other banks. And here we could take a look and see what's going on with the earnings calendar. We see Friday. Actually, let's go to most anticipated. Friday, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, Progressive, BlackRock, Citigroup, State Street, JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, that higher market cap there. Definitely something to keep an eye on for Friday. So let's talk about our trades. Should we be worried? Are we concerned? And, you know, this is just the ebb and flow of the market. We are actively trading the WTF strategy, sharing trades that we take with this group. And we're also sharing trades that we take with the wheel strategy with this group here. And today there were a couple of exits. So Marcus and I had traded ZS, and this did gap lower on that CPI reaction. We both got out of this for a loss today at the open at 184. So taking a loss in ZS out of that one. Now on Friday, DHR and Lowe's popped up as signals, and I know some people took them. This morning, there was an exit for DHR and Lowe's as well. Marcus and I did not take these because we already had some other open positions. We still have some open positions with the WTF strategy. Marcus has traded ABBV. I think both of us are in ADSK and CCEP. Then there's CVS that I traded. PG, I traded. I don't think Marcus did. Monster down today. Monster, we both traded. Ross, I was able to pick up some shares on Monday at a nice price, even though the signal occurred on Friday. So we're both in Ross, and then we're out of ZS. So I'm going to take that off my watch list. So a little bit of a pullback with these WTF positions. We'll see just where we go for the remainder of the day and if there are any exits for tomorrow. But I definitely think we're going to have a couple of entries for tomorrow. So we'll have to check the WTF analyzer, see what new opportunities are popping up, see if there's anything that we're going to take there. Now, when it comes to the wheel strategy, this is where the spike in yields not helping out some of our trades. But let's first look at Apple. Marcus and I, we both own shares at 170, and we both sold calls at the 170 level. I got $1.42 on those 170 calls. Marcus got $1.30 on those 170 calls. Right now with this pullback, our plan is to let those calls expire worthless or close them at 90%. So if we could close them at 90% of the total potential profit up until the day before expiration, we'll do so. We still have some time here. Last I saw, they were at about 70%, 75% max profit. So still a little ways to go before a 90% exit, but something that could happen today or maybe tomorrow. Being down 167.80 right now, I'm not worried about this at all. Apple signed at 170, selling calls right now, just doing its thing. And for me, looking pretty good. CSIQ yesterday, loving this move up almost 8%, just a huge rally. I mean, this is what I expect from CSIQ, some volatility, some movement, and some big pushes higher, maybe some big pushes lower. Today, just cannot, shake off the higher yields, right? So with markets down 1% and that huge, huge yield spike, when it's more expensive to finance these type of investments like solar panels, it's just a harder sell, right? If someone comes to you and says, hey, if you buy solar panels for $30,000, this is just total general terms made up, right? But let's just say hypothetically, someone comes to you and says, hey, if you pay $20,000 for solar, in 5 years, it pays for itself, and then you don't have an electric bill, right? That's pretty attractive. If someone says, hey, you spend $20,000 in solar and it's going to take 25 years and then you can start getting free energy, not so attractive. Okay, big exaggeration there. Speaking of exaggerations, so Marcus came into town and so Sacramento, Northern California, the eclipse. I have a picture of the eclipse. And I wanted to show it. Let's show it here. This is what it looked like from Sacramento. Sorry, I've been seeing all of these eclipse photos. And you know what? It was pretty funny. Not so funny, kind of funny. But here we are in Sacramento. I'm sitting there with Marcus. And on his phone, he's seeing pictures of downtown Austin, which is like just black because of the eclipse. And people were actually flying into the area for the eclipse to view it. And hotels were like just at these crazy prices. And he was leaving while everybody was coming into town. And he got to see some neat pictures, but he wasn't there when it was happening. So timing was a little bit off on coming to Sacramento versus staying there and witnessing an event that won't take place until 2044 or whatever it is. And this was the best we could do in Sacramento. Not the eclipse viewing that Marcus would have had in Austin. A little tangent there, but why not throw something in other than a dad joke from time to time? All right, so let's go back to CSIQ. I don't even know what made me think of that, but CSIQ down right now can't handle the higher yields. Speaking of having a hard time handling the higher yields, NEE, I do like that we've come off of today's lows and the open too. We opened at 64. Is that right? And nope. There we go. We opened at 63.50. So now we're about $64 a share. I take that as a positive. All things considered, NEE looking pretty good, right? I mean, down more than the overall market, but again, it's an income play, right? So with yields being higher, it's going to put pressure on some of these utilities and income plays. And I still think that this rally off of lows that we've seen since early March is just outstanding. And in spite of this 2% drop, I think NEE is still hanging in there, looking decent. So I will give a little bit of an applause, a two thumbs up for NEE. Can I do this here? No. All right. Oh, there we go. Rock show for NEE, being down a little bit today, but still just an impressive move since March. And then UPS also down. I mean, down over 2% on that CPI news. Yeah, I would love for this to turn back around, move higher. And we just have to wait. We just have to see. So these are the positions that I'm in and Marcus is as well. I'm looking for another wheel position. This morning, I didn't see anything that stood out. And I'm keeping an eye on the markets because if there's a little more downside, I do think there will be more wheel opportunities to consider. And we'll just have to see where the market wants to go right now. But definitely open to adding a position if it looks great. And right now I have four on plus some of those WTF trades. So keep an eye on PPI tomorrow. Could be an interesting one. And then, of course, there's also those Fed minutes wild card this afternoon. If you like this video, please give it a thumbs up. And if you're new to the channel, please subscribe so you get notified when we have other videos, new videos. And for those of you that join us every day, thank you. We appreciate you. And we'll see you tomorrow. Until then, happy trading, everybody.